Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Lamed Dalid. Today's daf has been dedicated by Flora and Saul Mishan in honor of tonight's wedding of Sally Mishan to Victor Green. Hashem bless them with wealth, happiness, prosperity. May they build a bayit ne'eman b'Yisrael. Today's daf is being studied before Shereimah Rina Bat Rachel. Today's daf is being studied Le'ailu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther and Le'ailu Nishmat Morenu V'Rabbeinu Chacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam Ruach Adonai Tanehenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shakun Yom Baruch.
Amen.
We are starting today's daf on Lamed Dalid, Amud Rishon, at the Mishnah. Shlosha devarim sarich adam nomar betoch beto erev Shabbat im hashecha. There are three things that a person must say in his house to the people of his house, specifically to his wife, on erev Shabbat on Friday afternoon im hashecha before sunset. And what are these three things? Esartem, Arabten, Hadliku etaner. The first two are questions, and the second is a statement. Esartem, he asks his wife, did she make the proper preparations in taking ma'aser from the fruit for Seudat Shabbat, being that it is forbidden to take the tithes on Shabbat, and if one did not take his ma'aser, he cannot eat the fruit. So therefore, he needs to remind her right before Shabbat, Asartein, did you take the tithes from the fruit of Shabbat that we're going to eat? Arabten, literally, did you prepare the eruv? There's different types of eruvin that need to be prepared before Shabbat. There are two types. There's eruv tehumin, and there's eruvei haserot. Eruvei haserot we came across where people living in a courtyard together, that different homes that shared the same courtyard, even though technically from the Torah law, that courtyard that's in front of the homes is considered a reshuta yahid, and it's also enclosed, so really there should be no need to set up any additional arubin in order to allow the inhabitants of the haser to carry in there. However, the hachamim were stringent and they demanded an eruvei haserot to be set up, which means each resident of the haser gives a piece of bread and they pool their bread together and they put it in the residence of one of the dwellers, and now they're considered one resident, so to speak, and now they're able to carry into the haser. So he would ask his wife before Shabbat, did you set up the eruv? Or it could be eruvei tehumin. On Shabbat, Hakamim limited exactly the distance how far a person could walk from his home. And that's 2,000 amot. However, if one sets up his residence further from his official residence where he's, let's say, sleeping, so then he can carry 2,000 amot from that spot. Now, what does it mean? How do you set up a secondary residence? So you place a seudah, you know, far from your home, and so long as the seudah is prepared there from before Shabbat, and it's there going into Shabbat, so that becomes his, let's say, quasi-residence, since his food is there, and he can count his 2,000 amot from that seudah. So he buys extra distance in his walking on Shabbat. So again, he would ask his wife, did you set up the eruv tehumin if they're planning on going for a long walk? So he has to know, you know, is the eruv tehumin set up? Did you put the meal in that designated spot? Hadliku et taner is obvious, light the nerot. Now, the reason why this is said in an affirmative statement as opposed to a question that she explains to us, because esarten and arabten are not evident. When the husband comes home on Erev Shabbat, he sees fruit, there's no way for him to know if Ma'asir was taken or not. He doesn't know if the Eruv was set up as well, especially if we're talking about Eruv Tehumin. The Eruv Tehumin is far away from his house. He has no idea. So therefore he has to ask, Esartein, Arabtein, However, Adlakat Ner, he's able to see. He'll see if the candle's one lit or not. And therefore, that's something that's evident. So they asked that in a She'ela form. Adlakta Etaner, did you light the... they don't say it in a question form, because that he's able to see. So he would say it in a affirmative statement. Adiko Etaner, light the Nerot. He comes home, he sees the Nerot are not lit. There's no question over here. Another issue that she deals with on this Mishnah is, it seems these three statements are said im hashecha, close to right before Shabbat comes in. Let's say close to sunset. Why not say it earlier in the day? So that she says early in the day, you run yourself the problem that she might forget by the time Shabbat comes. You know, if you remind her at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, asartan, she says, oh yeah, I'll do it. Then I have more time, and she'll push it off, and then the fruits are not going to be mi'usar. Well, therefore, it says im hashecha dafka right before Shabbat, in order that there'll be no negligence. There's another issue in Rashi. Rashi, when he's discussing the subject of ma'aser perot, so he says a chidush. He says even though achilat arai, let's say if a person wants to eat from fruit in a as a snack, so to speak, there is no real obligation to give ma'aser on snacking from fruit. So that she just tells us, but on Shabbat, even snacks are obligated in ma'aser. It's the hashivut of Shabbat that makes even a temporary meal permanent because of the mitzvah of onig Shabbat. So therefore, on all fruits, ma'aser would have to be given. So again, we're learning three things before Shabbat, that the husband comes in and says, Asarten, Arabten, Hadikwetaner. Now the Mishnah goes on to another deed. Safek Hashecha, Safek Eno Hashecha. If let's say it's Safek, if it's sunset or not. Now what is this Safek? So that she tells us, Kegon Ben HaShemashot. Now she introduces us the concept of Ben HaShemashot, which in English they might interpret it as twilight. Literally it means between the suns. We're going to learn in the Gemara that it's actually a time that's not so clear to us, or to the Hachamim, what it is. Is it day? Is it night? It's somewhere, you know, during the transition between day and night. And therefore the Hachamim always treat Ben HaShemashot as Safek. It's considered Safek Yom, Safek Laila. We don't know if it's day, and we don't know if it's night. If it's day, it's still Friday. If it's night already, it's Shabbat. The Gemara is going to go at great length to tell us exactly when that Ben HaShemashot time is. But the Mishnah over here is just giving it to you in general. Safek Hashecha, Safek Ena Hashecha. That's the way of the Mishnah saying, if it's Ben HaShemashot, if it's this questionable period. So the Mishnah says, En Me'aserin, Etavadai. So number one, you're not allowed to take ma'aser from fruits that definitely were not mi'usar. Which means, on fruits that are definitely tebel. Which means, for sure there was no tikkun made. Once Ben HaShemashot comes, En Me'aserin Etavadai. Why? So that she tells us, because that is considered a tikkun. That's a major tikkun. It's a major fix. You're fixing the fruit. And even though it should be pointed out, tikkun of perot is really rabbinical. And it's not one of the 39 melachot to fix fruit on Shabbat. This is obviously a rabbinical gezerah because it's similar to fixing a vessel, so to speak. Now, the time of Ben HaShemashot also, technically, is a question. Is it Yom? Is it Laila? So seemingly, you might argue and say, well, since it's a Safek in itself, what the period is, and I'm only doing something that's at most forbidden rabbinically, maybe I should be lenient. As she tells us that the opinion of this Mishnah holds that even rabbinical enactments are forbidden during the Ben HaShemashot period. Again, that's not accepted by all the Tanaim, but this Tana holds Afilu Isur de Rabbanan is Asur in the Ben Hashem Ashot period. What's the proof? Because taking Ma'aser, even if you'd wait till Shabbat comes, and you took Ma'aser, you only transgressed Isur de Rabbanan. What? You were Mitaken Perot. So it's a Gezerah. They don't want you to fix things on Shabbat, even fixing Perot, because now by taking the Ma'aser, they become edible. So that's like you fixed it. You know, without the Ma'aser, they were broken. Couldn't eat them. Now by taking the tenth, the tithe, they became edible. Even though it's only rabbinical, even if you did it on Shabbat, and Ben Hashem Ashot is a Safek if it's Shabbat, still they would go Zer, the Ben Hashem Ashot al Rabbanan, on rabbinical. Now, just the terminology, the way we call a rabbinical enactment on Shabbat is a Shevut. Shevut means Isur Rabbanan. So anytime you see that the rabbis were Gozer Mishu Shevut, Ben Hashem Ashot. The next thing it says is, Ve'en matbilin et hakelim, which means we're not allowed either to dip our vessels in a mikveh. Now this could be talking about vessels that became tameh. In the olden days, vessels that became ritually impure also needed immersion in a mikveh. It could be talking about also the tibirat kelim that we are familiar with, that when you buy a vessel from a non-Jew, it also needs tevilat kelim. Those are two distinct tevilot. One is because of contamination, which is even if it belongs to the Jew and he had dipped it already in the mikveh once, you know, out of the reshut of a goy, sometimes kelim can become tameh. Somebody tameh touched it, the sheretz fell into it, etc. So the Mishnah is telling us over here that once you get to the Ben Hashem Ashot period, en matbilim et hakelim, you're not allowed to make tevilat kelim anymore. Why? So that she tells us, also because it looks like you're fixing the vessel. Why? Because before you dip it in the mikveh, there's no usage to the vessel. Now that you immersed it, so now already you mitaken it, now it becomes usable. So again, it's a rabbinical enactment. We'll call it again a shivut. But this opinion of the Mishnah says that they were gozer shivut ben Hashem Ashot. The next part of the Mishnah says, ve'en madlikin et anerot, which means you're not allowed to either light the nerot, you're not allowed to light the candles, Ben Hashem Ashot. Now that is obvious. Lighting the candles on Shabbat would be Yisur Deoraita. So the Mishnah really doesn't have to tell us this case. Once you told me that even things that are Asur Mishum Shevut, like taking Ma'aser, or like dipping Kelim is Asur Ben Hashem Ashot, Kol Sheken, all the more so, it would be Asur to light Nerot, because that's already Nisur Deoraita. That's one of the Lametet Melachot. So Rashi tells us that the Mishnah is working with the style of Zu Ve'en Sarich Lomar Zu Ketani. Sometimes the Tana, he writes cases not in the order of Hidushim, but sometimes he leaves the obvious to the last. Which means you're right, the case of Nerot didn't have to be mentioned. It's Zu, meaning the first two cases were necessary, the Ensarich Lomar Zu, which means the last case is really superfluous, but sometimes the Tana even writes it as just for your information, but not that it really needed. That's a style that we find in the Mishnah. Zu ve'ensarich lomar zu. This, and you did not need to state this. The Mishnah concludes and says, aval, however, at the Ben Hashem Ashot period, ma'aserin et ha-demai. We're allowed to take ma'aser from demai. As we've learned in previous dapim, demai is the fruit that is bought from an am ha'aris. Although the Gemara says that rov ame ha'aris me'aslin hin, that the majority of ame ha'aris, ignoramus people, people that were ignorant from keeping the law, the majority of them did take their ma'asrot and give their pay their taxes. However, there was a mi'ut, there was a small minority of them that did not. And David Achamim were concerned when you buy fruit from an Amaris, that what's going to happen? You're going to assume that they took Ma'aseh, but maybe they didn't. And now you're going to eat fruit that were not, mitukanim, were not fixed. So the Achamim demanded, midrabanan, to take Ma'aseh again from these fruits, misafik, on the chance that maybe the Amares did not give his ma'asir. And they termed that fruit as demai. Demai, da mai. What is this? Which means we don't know what it is. We don't know if it was ma'asir, or we don't know if it was not given ma'asir. Now, since really we have to assume that Rov HaMe'ares did give the ma'asir, and we're talking over here Ben Hashem Ashot, so there the rabbis did not forbid to take ma'asir, because you're really not fixing so much. Which means if it was Tebel Vadai, then already you're fixing it. Then the rabbi said Shvut Ben Hashem Ashot Asur. However, here, where in all odds it was probably given the ma'asir already, so this is not considered such a tikkun, such a fixing in the fruit. So the rabbis were lenient in Ben Hashem Ashot to take ma'asir from demai. Comes the Gemara and Mishnah and says, Uma'arbin, and you're also able to set the iruv up. Now, that's a little strange, because you just told me in the Mishnah that before sunset, im hashecha, you have to tell your wife al rabten, assuming that after the sunset, already once you get into the Ben Hashem Ashot period, it's no longer viable for eruv. And now you're telling me, no, safek hashecha, safek ena hashecha, about me'arbin, you can do the eruv. So we're going to have to reconcile exactly that point. Last issue of the Mishnah, Vetomin etahamin, which means one of the ways of keeping their food hot through Shabbat was through a process called hatmana. What is hatmana? Literally it means insulation, insulating. They would take their pot of food, let's say, they would stick it in a box, a kupa, and they would surround it with, let's say, wool or another type of material, and they would cover it in order to keep the heat and to maintain the heat inside the walls of the pot. That was one of the methods. It's called hatmana. So the Mishnah says, "V'tomnin etahamin," the hot food that you want to remain insulated, it's permissible to make hatmana ben hashemashot during this twilight period. The Gemara will analyze exactly what type of hatmana is permissible at that time. So again, to review the Mishnah very quickly, the Mishnah again taught the three things that a person must say to his household Erev Shabbat im hashecha. Esarten, question. Erabten, question. Adikar etaner, statement. Then the Gemara discussed certain things that are forbidden ben Hashem Ashot. Safek hashecha, safek ena hashecha. En me'asirin etavadai. That's the definite things. That's definite tebel. Ve'en matbirin etakedim. One cannot dip kedim that either are tameh or that need tevilat kedim because they were purchased from a goy. Ve'en madlikin etanerot, which is obvious because that would be isu deoraita. Aval ben Hashem Ashot me'asirin etademai, because demai is not such a tikkun. You can set up the Iruv, which we'll see what that means. You could make atmana. The Gemara asks, what is the source for this? Now, question amongst the Rishonim is, what is this question? For what? What are we looking for a biblical source for? For what issue over here? So from Rashi earlier, it seems that we're looking for the source of Hadlakat Ner on Shabbat. So the Gemara is just giving you basics. You know, you told me that you have to tell the wife, light the Nerot. Where do you see the obligation that you have to light Nerot on Erev Shabbat? So the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, V'yadata ki shalom o alecha ufakadta navecha velo techeta. First of all, you have to have peace in your house. You should know, ki shalom ha'olecha. Now, how do you have peace in your house? So when you have light. Now, she learned earlier that when it's dark, people are tripping over each other and they're stumbling on each other and there's no shalom. What brings the peace in the house is the people are able to see each other, and you're able to navigate in lightness instead of darkness. So it says, "Ufakadta navecha." So you should command your wife. Navecha is your abode, your house, meaning the wife that lives in the house. Ve'lo tehaita, and you should not come to sin. So therefore, this is the source, let's say, from Pesukim for the din of Nerot Shabbat. It's actually a pasuk in Iyov. Obviously, it's not Deoraita Nerot Shabbat. It's a smak that we have from pasuk from Iyov. Other Rishonim, like the Rosh, learn this pasuk and this question a little different. How do you know that you're obligated to handle these three things ahead of Shabbat, which is more in line with the Mishnah? We just said, so shadim usirik adam nomar betok meto. How do you know that you got to ask these three things? So he says, because we have a pasuk, v'yadata ki shalom ohalecha. Number one, shalom ohalecha, that's nerot Shabbat. So you have to ask, you have to say, hadiku et haner. Ufakata navecha. And you have to command your abode. What do you mean your abode? So we're talking about the ayruv, which means to just set up the ayruv that establishes my residency, either as we learned in the Haser, or a way so I can carry 2,000 amot from that residency. So if I katan avecha, set up, make sure your abode is in order. Ve'lo teheta, and you shall not sin. But he learns over here, the word teheta can also mean that you should not be lacking. Lo teheta. We find in the Navi sometimes they use the word teheta as lacking. So the explanation would mean, and you should not be lacking, meaning you should not be lacking food. Because if you don't take the ma'asir before Shabbat, you're not going to have what to eat. And lo teheta. So that you have to ask the wife before Shabbat. Asantain. Did you take the ma'asir? So according to the Rosh, this is actually a source for the questions that are asked in the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabba Ravuna, Afalgav de Amur Rabbanan. Even though the rabbi said, Shilosha devarim sarich adam nomar, betoch beto. Even though they told that they have to say it. Now saying it, nomar, means, seems you have to be a little forceful. You have to actually, it's like almost a commandment. So even though they want you to say it, however, sarich limimrinu benihuta, but you have to say it in a soft tone. They don't want you to scream at your wife on Erev Shabbat. Why? Ki echi delekiblinu mine, in order that she will accept it. Gemara is over here giving us a little psychology when it's telling us that if you want somebody to listen, don't yell at them. You have to tell them in a soft tone, especially Erev Shabbat, where it's a very hectic time, with nerves run very, very, the nerves are very thin on Erev Shabbat, and therefore people get nervous. So Mishnah is reminding us, the Gemara is reminding us, you have to say it, b'nichuta. I once heard from one of my rabbis, Hachem Yosef Hamway, Zichrono Levracha. He told us that that's why the Mishnah says, Shilosha devarim sarich adam nomar betoch beto. It has to be in his house, which means that the neighbors shouldn't be able to hear it. You have to keep the questions betoch beto in his house. Amar Rav Asher. Rav Asher said, Ana lo shami alehad Rabba Baravuna. I didn't hear this principle of Rabba Baravuna that taught you're supposed to say it in a soft tone. V'kiyemti misevara. But I kept it from logic. And Sevara tells us, logic says, if you want somebody to listen to you, you're supposed to say it in a soft way in order that they will listen. Comes the Gemara and says, Ha gufa kasha. We have a contradiction from the implications of our Mishnah. That's called the gufa kasha. Amart, you said at the beginning of the Mishnah, Shilosha devarim sarich adam nomar betoch beto erev Shabbat im ashecha. You said that the three things you have to say on erev Shabbat are im ashecha, meaning before ashecha, before Shabbat starts. So the Gemara makes an implication. Im ashecha, im. That these things can only be said before sunset. However, Safek Hashikha, Safek Eno Hashikha, no. But once you get to the Ben Hashem HaShot period, you'd not be allowed to. Yeah. Now, one of these things that we said you must say before Shabbat is Rabtin. Did you set up the Eruv? Then you said the line later, Safek Hashikha, Safek Eno Hashikha, Ne'arev. Then you told us, no, if you're in the Ben Hashem HaShot period, you're allowed to make the Eruv. What do you mean? It's mashma that you're only allowed to make the Eruv before Hashikha. Now you tell me already you can make the Eruv Ben Hashem HaShot? So comes the... Now the Gemara here, unusually puts a siman in the middle of this dialogue. There's a siman, a mnemonic, to remember the next pieces in the sugya that are going to be discussed. So the Gemara says, Begufya, Zimra, Sifra, Behabla, Demilta. So that's a way to remember the upcoming issues that are going to be discussed. Back to our question, Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Chiya Bar Asher, Amar Rav, La Kashya, Kan Be'irube Tehumin, Kan Be'irube Haserot. There's two types of Irubin. There's Eruve Tehumin and there's Eruve Hasrot, as we discussed when we explained the Mishnah. Which one is worse, so to speak, that you can only fulfill Erev Shabbat before sunset? So the Gemara says it's Eruve Tehumin. Eruve Tehumin have to be set up from before Shabbat. Once Ben Hashem HaShot comes, that style of Eruv cannot be done. Rashi tells us in the Bura Mafil Eruve Tehumin, Tikkun me'alya, because that's considered a major tikkun if you were to do it on Shabbat. The asmichua rabbanan tehumin akira'eh, because the source of erubet tehumin, although it's rabbinical, however, they based it on pisukim. Those pisukim are not really teaching us erubet tehumin. I'm saying it's rabbinical, but there is some allusion to the concept in the Torah. So therefore, the rabbis were strict. Erubet Tehumin, you could only do Erev Shabbat. So when the husband comes home, Erev Shabbat, when he says Erev Ten, he's really referring to Erubet Tehumin. And that which we said, Safek Hashecha, that you're allowed to set up the Eruv, that's talking about Erubet Haserot. That she tells us, regarding Erubet Haserot, it's Chumrah Be'alma. It's really a stringency from there. There is no source to be stringent in a chaser, as I explained. It's a four-walled area. It's a legitimate reshut yachid min haTorah. There's really no reason why the residents have to do anything else in order to allow them to carry. It's a stringency from the rabbis. So such a stringency that has really no even allusion from the Torah. The rabbis were lenient to set up the Erubei Chaserot Erev Shabbat, even Ben Hashem HaShot. So that's the two types of Erubin. Erubei Tehumin, Davka, Im Hashecha, and Erubei Haserot, Afilu, Le'achar Hashecha, during the Safek times. It should be pointed out, just the Rashi in the Mishnah, when he said Arabten, he said Erubei Tehumin V'Haserot. He said both. Of course, Rashi could only have said Eruve Tehumin, because that's the real item you have to settle before Hashikha. It seems he threw in Eruve Haserot. Once already, you're asking about Erubin, you throw in, did you take care of the Eruve Haserot also? Not that you wouldn't be able to set the Eruve Haserot later, it's just Derech Agav. Once already, he's asking on Eruve Tehumin, which is the real issue, he threw in also Eruve Haserot. Mm-hmm. Comes the Gemara. Ve'amar Rava. Rava gives a case of Eruve Tehumin using the Ben Hashem HaShot time. Amru lo Shinayim. Two people told a third person. Amru lo Shinayim. Tse ve'arev alenu. Go set up the Eruve Tehumin for us. Seems these guys wanted to walk, outside the area. So they gave a shaliach some provisions. go to that far off place and put the Iruf for us, have us in mind. Set up our Iruf to Amin. You can send a Shaliyah to do that. So it says, one guy, he set up the Iruf already, it was clearly daytime. It was Friday afternoon, the Iruf already was set up in its place. And the other guy, he didn't get to the spot until bin Hashem Ashot, until the twilight. So now the Gemara says, Zeh she'irev alav mebe'od yom, the guy's Iruv that was set up from day, ne'echal Iruvo bin Hashem Ashot. A dog came and ate the Iruv during the bin Hashem Ashot time. Zeh she'irev alav bin Hashem Ashot, and the second guy, that his Iruv was established, Ben Hashem Ashot, Ne'echal Iruvo Mishahashecha. His Iruv was eaten once it got dark. So now we have issues, because according to the Halakha, the Iruv has to be there at least for one moment after Shabbat starts. Whatever happens to the Iruv after that, we really don't care. But so long as once Shabbat starts, the Iruv was there, it's considered a legitimate Iruv Techomin. So now we have a problem. Because the first guy's Iruv was eaten Ben Hashem Ashot. Now Ben Hashem Ashot, we learned, is a Safik. Might be day, it might be night. The second guy, the Iruv was placed Ben Hashem Ashot. Now, it was eaten once it got dark. However, the only problem is that if you say Ben Hashem Ashot is night, that means the Iruv doesn't start, because the Iruv has to be placed in the day. It's got to be placed before Shabbat. So therefore we have to analyze exactly whose Iruv counts and whose doesn't. Maybe both of them don't count. So the Gemara says, Shineem kanu Iruv. Both Iruvim work, which means they have acquired the Iruv. They made the proper acquisition, the Iruvim are good. So the Gemara says, Manavshach. Manavshach means, how do you want to look at it? Which means, you can't play both sides. Gemara says, E ben Hashem Ashot Yemamahu. How do you want to look at ben Hashem Ashot? You want to consider ben Hashem Ashot day? Really, it's a safek. But let's assume we're going to consider it, it's day ben Hashem Ashot. That means twilight is still considered Friday. So, Batra Likni. So the second guy's Iruv should work, because that means he put it Ben Hashem Ashot, which is day, and then it wasn't eaten until it got dark. Bingo, there's an Iruv. It's put in the day, eaten when it gets dark. However, Kama Lo Likni. But the first guy's Iruv should not be acquired. Why? Because they put it in the day, and it was eaten Ben Hashem Ashot, which is day, which is the Iruv was not there for a moment during Shabbat. Now let's go the other way. The E Ben Hashem Ashot Lelyahu, and if you want to consider Ben Hashem Ashot, is night. So now it's the reverse. Kama Likni. Let the first guy's Iruv be acquired. Why? Because he put it there during the day, and then it was eaten Ben Hashem Ashot, which is night. So therefore it's considered it was there for a period of Shabbat, and therefore it's considered an Iruv. However, Batra Lo Likni, the second guy, it should not be acquired. Why? Because it was placed there Ben Hashem Ashot. If you're saying Ben Hashem Ashot is night, so it was placed there already once Shabbat started. It's too late. How could you tell me then that both Iruvim are legitimate? The Gemara says, "Man of Shach, if you consider a day or you consider a night, both cannot work." So the Gemara says, "Ben Hashem Ashot Sefekau." You're right. Ben Hashem Ashot itself is a Sefek. Sefek Yom, Sefek Laila. V'Sefekad Rabbanan Lekula. This over here of setting up the Iruv is a rabbinical law, as we explained. So therefore, the rule when it comes to rabbinical laws is, I go lekula. I go to the lenient side. And therefore, being lenient over here means to make the guy's Iruv kosher. Instead of being stringent saying your Iruv is not kasher, how do you be mekin? Say the Iruv is good. So therefore, for each one, I'll look at Ben Hashem Ashot as either Yom or Laila. Which means, for the first guy, I need to look at Ben Hashem Ashot as Laila to make his Iruf Kashir. He put it in the day, it was Ian at Ben Hashem Ashot, I'll say Ben Hashem Ashot is Laila, bingo, the Iruf is Kashir. For the second guy, I'll say that Ben Hashem Ashot is day. And I'll say what? They placed it in a Shemashot during the day of Friday, and it was eaten Hashecha on Shabbat, and therefore said it was also, which is, I'll play it both sides. Since it's only a rabbinical deen, Ben Shemashot is a Safek, so therefore go this way Likuda, and go that way Likuda. That's why both Irubin are Kasher. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava said, "Mepene ma amru en tomnin bedavar she'eno musif habal mishachashecha." Rava gives us a principle. There are two types of hatmana, two types of insulation. So we discussed in the Mishnah, you're insulating your pots to keep them hot over the Shabbat. There's a type of insulation that's called bedavar hamosif haval, and there's a second type that's called bedavar she'eno mosif haval. What does mosif haval mean? It adds heat. There are certain types of materials that are, so to speak, combustible in the sense that when you put them around your pot, they not only keep the pot hot, but they actually generate heat. As they are like a rubbish or garbage, as it's decomposing, so it lets off some energy, and that energy has the power to create heat. That would be called Mosif Haval. According to the Mishnah that we're going to learn later on, in the next Perek, we're going to learn that Hatmana Bedavara Mosif Haval is forbidden even on Friday. Even from before Shabbat, you cannot make hatmana bedavar hamosif haval. So that type of hatmana is off limits. So what type of hatmana am I allowed to make on Erev Shabbat? Obviously the other type of hatmana, bedavar she'en mosif haval, on items that don't generate heat. For example, let's say wool. Wool in itself does not add heat, it just insulates. You put it around the pot, let's say, like, you know, a jacket around the pot, it'll keep the, whatever the heat of the pot is, it'll keep it for a little longer time. So obviously when we say that Ben Hashem Ashot Tomnin et Achlamin, you're allowed to make Hatmana, we must be referring to Hatmana Bedavar She'enu Mosif Haval, because Mosif Haval you can't even do on Friday. So now the Gemara has a question. Rava wants to say, "Mepenema amru en tomrin bedavar she'eno mosif haval mishachashecha." You're only allowing me to make this hatmana ben Hashem Ashot, implying what? That once it gets dark, once Shabbat starts, even hatmana bedavar she'eno mosif haval is forbidden. Jesus, let's use our example of wool. To put wool around the pot once Shabbat comes is asur. Now really we should analyze, why should that be asur? I mean, what's the issue here? I'm not really cooking anything, I'm just insulating a pot. Like, well, the wool is not mukseh, obviously. I just want to take some wool, I want to put it around the pot to keep it hot as it can be until I eat it. So Rava wants to, why should that be asur? Which is, you allowed me ben Hashem Ashot, certainly you allow me erev Shabbat, so why not allow me on Shabbat? What were the rabbis concerned? What could happen here? So the Gemara says, Gezerah Sheme Yartiyah. We're concerned that he might come to heat up his pot. Yartiyah literally means he's going to heat it up. Rashi explains this to mean that when he comes to make Hatmana on Shabbat, he's going to see that his pot actually cooled off. So what are we worried that he's going to do? He might come take his pot and put it back on the fire. Now already he's running into issues of cooking. So therefore, because we're concerned that he might, we don't want him to have any dealings with heating pots on Shabbat, even in the insulating level. Because once already you're allowing him to put wool, he's going to get to his place, oh, what happened? It's cold. And he might unwittingly put the pot on the fire to heat it up. Now you're running into serious isurim. The way that she says it, three lines from the bottom, so you see it inside. Gezera, shimmi yimsa kederato shenitztanena. Maybe exactly, you'll find that your pot got cooled off. Kishi yitzir lahatmina, when you're going to go to insulate it. Viyartihena tehila. And you're going to come first and heat it up. Vinimsa mevashel v'shabbat. And comes out, you're cooking on Shabbat. Now, there is discussion amongst the Rishonim, what exactly is the cooking over here? Yeah. Seemingly the stuff was cooked from before Shabbat already. So if anything, you're re-cooking. So you have the whole issue over here of, is there cooking after cooking? So if you learn that she is talking about a liquidy item that cooled off, then we could say very simply that we know on liquidy items, it's universally accepted, yesh bishul ahar bishul. It's possible to cook something twice. So on a liquidy item, we're worried that they might come to make hatmana on it. It might get cooled off. You say, oh, before you make hatmana, I might put it on the fire. Vinim sa'at nevashel. So that's one way we could understand the Rashi. Just to make it, because Rashi does say it's an issue of bishul. Or maybe you could say it's really not going to be fully cooked. Which means it's not fully cooked. He's going to get before Shabbat, he put it on, and it didn't get fully cooked. Now it's going to come on Shabbat. He says, oh, let me go insulate. And he's going to notice that it's not even fully cooked, and he might just put it on the fire. And therefore, they were forbidding hatmana. Again, the reason why they forbid it, because once you're involved in doing something with the pot, heating it, insulating it, so then it could lead to other things that you might come to do as well with the pot. So that's why, according to Rava, they forbade hatmana bedabar she'enu mosif haval on Shabbat itself. But ben hashemashot, they allowed it. So the Gemara says, Amar de Abaye, ihache ben hashemashot, na ben nigzor. That's the case, so why don't you make the same gezerah ben hashemashot? That what? You might come to insulate your pot ben hashemashot. You might see that it cooled down, you might put it on the fire. Everybody agrees you can't put a pot on the fire, ben hashemashot. Ben hashemashot is safek Shabbat. So the Gemara answers, Amar de setam kederot rothoten. At the ben hashemashot period, most pots are hot. Because you just took them off the fire before Shabbat comes in. So therefore at that point you don't have to worry or be so concerned that the pot cooled off yet. When do you have to be concerned that the pot cooled off? When you're into Shabbat already. Yeah, then already the pot's cooled off. But ben hashemashot, it was just on the fire. You just took it off. So therefore the assumption is it's still hot. So what are you worried about? The guy's going to put it on the fire to heat it? It's hot already. It's not going to be cooled off by that short period of time in the ben hashemashot from the time you took it off the fire. Therefore they did not make a gezerah on ben hashemashot for hatmana. Ve'amar Rava. Rava taught. We turn to the Amud Bet. V'pene ma amru en tomnin bedavar mosif haval v'afilu mebe'od yom. Rava asks now regarding the hatmana bedavar mosif haval, which we learned that that's forbidden even me'ayereb shabbat, even forbidden during the day. Why did they forbid me to make hatmana during Erev Shabbat on something that generates heat? So the Gemara says, Gezerah Shemi Yatmin Beremetz Sheyesh Ba Gahelet. We're worried, since one of the types of things that generate heat is remetz. Remetz would be hot ash. We're worried that you might take the pot Erev Shabbat, stick it into this remitz, into these ashes that are hot, and it might have in it a gahelet. It might have in it a coal that's still burning. Okay, but what are we doing over here? I'm doing on an Erev Shabbat. I'm not doing this on Shabbat. So the Gemara asks, Amar le Abaye v'yatmin. So let him do it. I understand you don't want me to do this on Shabbat, but I'm doing this Erev Shabbat. Is there any issue to stick something in hot ashes before Shabbat? Let there be a coal in it. What's the problem? So the Gemara says, Shkezera shem yachte b'gehali. The concern over here is that you might come to stoke the coal. Here we're concerned you might come to play with that coal on Shabbat, and therefore you're going to come to Mav'ir. Let's look at Nashi. Nashi says Beremetz, that's on the third line. Efer, we said that's ashes. Hame'urav b'gehalim, that are mixed with coals. So the Gemara asks, V'yatmin, reading Nashi. Tame be'od yomu. It's day, it's Friday. What's the difference? Make atmana. Rashi, gezerah shemi yachte begehalim, mishahashecha. We're worried that you might come to stoke the coals on Shabbat. Sheba lebasher akederah shelo bishla kol surka. Very important. Rashi says we're talking about in the essence of the gezerah about food that was not cooked completely going into Shabbat. There it makes sense that I might come to stoke the coal in order to get it to cook faster. Really, according to this, if the food was cooked before Shabbat and it's in an item that's generating heat already, there really should be no reason why I should come to stoke. The fact that it's going to get cold, it's not going to get cold. It's in something that's Mosif Aval. The fact that it's not cooked, that I want to speed the cooking, also it's cooked already. So that she tells us, Ve'gazru af bebishla kol surka. The rabbis made a gezerah across the board, which means when the rabbis made their gezerot, sometimes they didn't like to make differences between cooked, not cooked. The way the poskim call that is la pelug. The rabbis did not differentiate in their gezerot, even though in logic, the logic of the gezerah is only applicable to something that was enu mevushal kol surko. However, the rabbis forbade even mevushal kol surko, and as he says, ad shiyigrof or shiyiktom, until either you take out all the coals from before Shabbat, so you can't come to stoke, or that you just pour ashes over it in order to either remind you or to cool it down before Shabbat. So therefore, we understand now the reason of the second gezerah of hatmana bedavar hamosif aval be'erev Shabbat gezerah shema yatmina beremetz sheyesh b'gehalim v'yavo lachtot. And it's applicable ben bedavar she'enu mevushal, where the gezerah is understandable, and the la pelug is even on something that is mevushal. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu Rabbanan ben hashemashot. How we discuss this ben hashemashot period, this twilight period that we called it. Safek min hayom umin halayla. Safek kulo min hayom, safek kulo min halayla. The Gemara proposes to us three different possibilities that Ben HaMashem HaShot might be. The first possibility is, it's both. It's considered Yom and Laila. Which is that whole period, whatever it is, whenever it starts of Ben HaMashem HaShot, is considered Yom VeLaila. Or it's considered totally Yom, or it's considered totally Laila. Now, we're going to have to see halachic ramifications to all these things. One of the halachic ramifications is obvious. The Gemara says, Matilin oto lechomer shnei yamim. We give it the stringencies of 2 days. Which means, whenever you have a question, we're always going to take the Ben HaShem HaShot, again, if it's a question in Torah, let's say, that has ramifications to Torah law, we're going to give it the stringency of of 2 days, meaning sometimes we'll consider it day, sometimes we'll consider it night. The classic example would be Friday afternoon and Saturday night. Friday afternoon going into Shabbat. So now I'm going to treat Ben Hashanashot as Laila. When it comes to things that are assumed from the Torah, because I want to be stringent here, maybe it's Shabbat already. Going out of Shabbat, Ben Hashanashot on Saturday night, I'll consider it day. Because I want to be stringent as well. Because I want to still consider it Shabbat, because maybe it's really day and you're going to transgress something from the Torah. So therefore, that's obvious in that case. We take it stringency to consider it 2 days, which means on Erev Shabbat it's considered Laila, and Motzei Shabbat it's considered Yom. But we really have to figure out, and again, I will do this for us eventually, we have to figure out what's the ramifications that you're considering it both. Well, one of the options was it's Yom Ve'Laila together, so to speak. How does that manifest in a Nafka Mina La'alacha? But let's continue with the Gemara is going to tell us what the Ben Hashemashot is. Ve'ezehu Ben Hashemashot. Now the Gemara is not going to give us a time. It would be very easy if the Gemara would say, you know, 13 and a half minutes after sunset, that's already the Ben Hashemashot period, and something like that. The Gemara is going to give us times that are based on how much light there is in the sky at the time. Based on that, Hakamim have to come and convert that to something where you could put on a calendar, where you could put on a time chart, on a timetable. So the Gemara says, Ve'ezehu ben Hashemashot mishitishka hama. Once the sun sets, that's the ball of the sun that goes down on the western horizon. Kozman shepnei mizrach ma'adimim. So long as the eastern horizon, the clouds on the eastern horizon are still red. There's still a reddish color. It seems that when the sun sets in the west, it causes some reflection and light in the east. The rays, so to speak, of the sun make the eastern skyboard reddened. So the Mishnah says that when is Ben Hashemashot? From Shikiyat Tachana, when the sun goes down, Kozman Shepenei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So long as the eastern skyboard is reddened. The statement continues, the Braita continues. Hichsifa Tachton. Now, assume that the sky, let's say, has two parts. We'll call it the lower part of it, that's close to the ground. And then you have the upper part of the sky. Okay? We don't know exactly where the border is, which is Tachton and which is Elyon. But in your minds, we assume that Tachton is the one that is closer to the earth, and the Elyon is the above the horizon, so to speak. So the Gemara says, Hichsifa Tachton. If the bottom part of the horizon that's closer to the ground became Hichsif, which means blackened, dark, Velo Hichsifa Alyon, but the top part of the sky is still red, Ben Hashemashot. That is still Ben Hashemashot. Now, right away, we're going to ask on the contradiction. There's a contradiction that just took place here, very subtly. You told me originally in your opening statement, Ben Hashemashot is so long as the eastern skyboard is red, implying that if there's any blackening, you missed it. Now you're telling me no. If the bottom is black and then the top is red, that's still Ben Hashemashot. So that's like a little contradictory statement there. You started off saying it's got to be reddened, which means no black. Then a second later you tell me black in the bottom, red and on the top, you're still considered Ben Hashemashot. So the Gemara will adjust the Braita to have that make sense. Hichsifa Elyon. But once the top of the horizon becomes blackened, Ve'ishva le'tachton, and it becomes parallel, I mean equal to the bottom, probably the whole eastern skyboard is black, is dark. Zeu Laila. Finished. Then you know already that's considered Laila. Devre Rabbi Yehuda.
That's the Biyudah's definition. Rabbi Nehemya Omer,
Rabbi Nehemya gives it more of a defined time when he says,
Kedesh Yehalech Adam Meshitishka Hama Hatzimil.
Once sunset comes, the time that it takes a person to walk half a meal, that's already the time of Ben HaShemashot. Now, for argument's sake, the shi'ur of a meal is anywhere from 18 minutes to 24 minutes. Now, half a meal, for that matter, would be anywhere from 9 minutes to 12 minutes. Let's take the way the Shulchan Aruch understands a meal as 18 minutes. And therefore, hatsi meal would be 9 minutes. So what the rabbi here of Nehemya is saying, Ben HaShemashot would be the 9 minutes following Shekiyat HaHama. That period of 9 minutes would be considered Ben HaShemashot.
Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef says, Ben HaShemashot keheref ayin. Ben HaShemashot takes place as quick as the blink of an eye. It's a very fast moment. Zeh nichnas, this enters, which means the night enters, v'zeh yotze, and the day leaves. V'yifshar la'amod alav, and it's really impossible to figure out exactly that moment, because it's the blink of an eye. So therefore, he's learning it's just a moment's time. Now, Amar Mor, that's the statement regarding Ben HaShemashot. There's three opinions. Let's just review the three opinions quickly. The first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda. That what? When the eastern skyboard is Ma'adim, the reddened. You have the opinion of Nehemya. He says Chatzi Mil after Ben, after Shekiyat HaHama, which we said is, let's say, 9 minutes for argument's sake. Rabbi Yosef's opinion is Ben HaShemashot keheref ayin. Ze nichnas veze yotze, and it's impossible ve'ei efshar la'amod alav. Now, the Gemara says Amar Mor. Whenever you have an Amar Mor, it brings a previously stated statement, and it's going to isolate it and analyze it. Matilin oto lechomer shene yamim. We said that what you treat Ben HaShemashot, the stringency, to 2 days, as both days. Lemay hilcheta. What's the nafkamina lahalacha? Which is, we figured out on our own, we found the nafkamina le'anyan Shabbat. But again, that nafkamina that we gave for Shabbat, meaning Erev Shabbat, you consider it night. And Motzei Shabbat, you'll consider it day. That just solves two out of the three options of Ben HaShemashot. The third option of Ben HaShemashot is, you said it's considered both. It's Yom Ve'Layla. Where does that come in and play into Halakha? So the Gemara says, Demay Ilcheta, Amar Avuna B'Din Rav Yehoshua Le'anyan Tum'ah, regarding the law of Tum'ah. Their contamination, they already will find the halachic nafkaminot in how to classify Ben HaShemashot.
Kedetnan, like we learned in the Mishnah,
Ra'a Shene Yamin Ben HaShemashot Safek Letum'ah Ul Korban, Ra'a Yom Echad Ben HaShemashot Safek Letum'ah.
Let's review quickly the laws of Zav and then apply it to our situation of Ben HaShemashot. A Zav is a man that has a discharge from his body that renders him Tameh, Tum'at Zav. The Tum'at of Zav is very strict in that wherever the Zav sits, he's able to transmit Tum'ah. Now, to become a Zav, he has to at least have seen two discharges.
two discharges either on the same day or one discharge on consecutive days. That renders him a Zav. The way the Zav purifies himself is he needs 7 days without any discharges, and then he becomes Tahor after he immerses in the mikveh. If a Zav sees 3 times, either in 1 day or 3 consecutive days, so then already besides the 7 clean days that he needs, he also has to bring a korban after his immersion from the mikveh. Furthermore, if a Zav only sees once, so then already he is not labeled a Zav, he is considered a Baal Keri. We give him the status of somebody that had a regular seminal discharge, and therefore he just waits a day and goes to the mikveh. So again, there's seeing once, which is a Baal Keri, seeing twice, either on the same day or consecutive days, he's a Zav of Shtere Iyot that needs 7 days and then mikveh. And then you have a Zav of 3 times, that's so either 3 in 1 day or 3 consecutive days, that needs 7 days mikveh followed by a korban. And now we have a Mishnah that discusses cases where he got his discharge ben ha-shemashot, which really now is between 2 days. So let's start reading the Rashi. Ra'a shene ben ha-shemashot, which literally means he saw on 2 days during the ben ha-shemashot period. To make it simple, let's use Sunday and Monday. Sunday afternoon at ben ha-shemashot he saw, and at Monday ben ha-shemashot he saw again. That's what it means in the Mishnah when it says Ra'a shene yamim ben ha-shemashot. He saw 2 days in a row at the ben ha-shemashot. Let's read Rashi. Ziva de zav, the discharge of a zav, mitame biyamim, can mitame through days, ubiriyot, or with seeings. Ben shira'a shetayim biyom echad, whether he saw 2 times in 1 day, ben shira'a shetayim bishne yamim ritzufim, or he saw on 2 consecutive days. Ben shira'a achat bishne yamim, whether he saw 1 in 2 days, kegon ben ha-shemashot. Let's say he saw on ben ha-shemashot of 1 of the days. So he says hashiv lekishter iyot, so it's considered as 2 de'iyot, because we said one of the options of ben ha-shemashot is considered both day and night. So therefore, by seeing ben ha-shemashot on, let's say, Sunday, so it's considered as if he saw Sunday, Monday. It's as if he saw a Re'iyah on Sunday and a Re'iyah on Monday. So that would be having Re'iyot, 1 Re'iyah, but on consecutive days. So that would render him a Tumah. So right away we see the halakhic ramification of how you consider ben ha-shemashot both days. So that she continues, Mishum Yamim, okay, because of Yamim. Now, let's go back to the Mishnah in the Gemara. La'ash ne'yamim ben ha-shemashot. Let's go to that first case. If he saw 2 days in a row on ben ha-shemashot, safek le'tum'ah ve'le'korban. So now he puts himself in a safek that he's a zav of tum'ah, meaning of 7 days, and he's also a safek of zav of 7 days plus a korban. Let's work that out together, reading Rashi. Safek le'tum'ah ve'le'korban. Safek tameh, safek tahor, safek hayav korban, ima tum'ah, safek eno hayav korban, aval tameh shiv'ah. Actually, all the options are applicable by that case. Maybe we'll say he's tahor,
Maybe we'll say he's tameh 7. Maybe we'll say he's tameh 7 with korban. All options are opened in the first case of that Mishnah of Safek. He saw two ben Hashem Hashots. Now that she explains.
Desav baal shtere uyot. O shne yamin. Kol turat tumat zavin alav. Veshlishim viyato lide korban. Veze,
this guy.
Shera'a shne ben Hashem Hashot.
This guy that saw two ben Hashem Hashots.
Safek yom ehadu.
We could say safek that it's the same day. Let's analyze. If you say that Sunday night's ben Hashem Hashot is night, so that's Monday already. And if you say Monday's ben Hashem Hashot is day, that's Monday. That means he had two seeings on the same day. Well, that renders him a tamei avzav of seeing two in one day. That's one option how to break it down. Or you can consider it two consecutive days, which means you consider ben Hashem Hashot, let's say, of Sunday was daytime, so therefore he saw one day on Sunday, and ben Hashem Hashot of Monday is considered day, which is Monday, and therefore he saw one day on Sunday, one day on Monday. And that renders him a Zav of two consecutive days. So that's how that one would work out.
V'tameh nami betorat yamim, safek bet yamim she'en ritzufin en v'tahor.
Now you could also consider it that, let's say, the case of Sunday night, where he saw ben Hashem Hashot, let's consider it a day. And therefore it's considered he saw on Sunday. Let's consider ben Hashem Hashot of Monday night. That's considered Tuesday. So he saw one on Sunday, one on Tuesday. That's not consecutive, because he didn't see on Monday. So in that option of it, there's a safek to say that he will be tahor. So you see, all the options are applicable. The tahor option, the option of two consecutive days, and the option of same day twice.
Safek bet yamim she'en hanetzufin betahor metumat shva'a ela kebal keri be'alma delav shtei ra'iyot biyom echad ika velo shtei yamim netzufin ika.
Now, how do we have the safek of 3 days? So that she continues, we're 1, 2, 3, 4 lines into that Rashi.
Safek she'en gimel yamim netzufin.
We could also say safek that it's 3 consecutive days.
The zav gamuru af le korban.
And even will have to bring a korban.
Ketzad.
So now really that she speaks out all the things that we spoke out. Let's read it in that she. He'll speak it all out for you.
Shem ben Hashem Hashot Harishon kolo min hayom. O ben Hashem Hashot Hashni kolo min halayla. Venimsa yom ehad ifsik ben tayim vetaor. O shnehem min hayom. Davelu shnei yamim retzufin, vechen im shnehem min alayla, havelu nameh shnei yamim retzufin. O shema im harishon min alayla, vasheni min hayom, havelu nameh shtei ra'iyot biyom echad, vetameh shva'a bechol elu, ve'en kan korban. Shemesh shetehen ra'iyot hayu miksatan biyom miksatan balayla,
which means one of the options of ben Hashem Hashot is what? That you consider it both. It's part day, part night. So therefore, when you saw on Sunday, you saw technically Sunday, Monday. Now when you saw ben Hashem Hashot on Monday night, even if you consider ben Hashem Hashot night, let's say. So that means you saw Tuesday. So therefore you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So that's already 3 consecutive days that you saw. Now already you have to bring a korban.
V'yesh kan shelosha retzufim. V'chen im harishona miksata v'yom miksuta ba'alayla v'ashenia kulam min alayla.
That's the case we just explained. O harishona kulam min hayom, which is all you could say that Sunday's ben Hashem Hashot is considered fully day. And then Mondays is considered both Monday, Tuesday. So either way you play it, either using it from Sunday or to Monday. Bottom line, now you see enough kamina lahalacha
in the Bina Shemashot playing a role in how you're going to classify the case of Zav. Comes the next case of the Mishnah. So let's read that inside the Mishnah again. Ra'ash Shnei Yamin Bina Shemashot Safek, which means you have a Safek of that he's Tahor Letum'ah, Safek of 7 days Ul Korban. And as we just learned, now you have a Safek as well as 3 days. Ra'a Yomehad Bina Shemashot. But if he just saw, let's say, 1 day Bina Shemashot Safek Letum'ah, then it's just a Safek of 7. Why? Let's read Rashi, 3 lines from the bottom. La'a ehad bin ha-shemashot, safek metum'ah, shem miksata b'yom miksata b'layla. Which means maybe that night is considered both, and therefore it's considered, let's say, Sunday, Monday, and therefore he saw a seeing on 2 consecutive days. V'ayinu chomer bet yamin, betame zayin, o shema kula o min ha-yom o min ha-layla, ve'en kan ela ehad. Or you say maybe it's tahor. Because maybe you consider it either it's all day or all night, and therefore you only saw once. So in that case, you don't have the sefek of 7 days with korban. You just have sefek tahor or sefek 7. So there you see the halachic ramification. The Gemara continues and says, Agufa Kasha. We're going back to the Braita that gave us the time of Bin HaShemashot. And the Braita told us that once Shtishka Hama from sunset, so long as the eastern sky is red. So Gemara says, Amar, you told me, Ezehu ben HaShemashot mitishka Hama, Kozman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimim. So long as it's still red, implying, Ha hechsifa tachton velo hechsifa alyon, Lailo, implying that even if the bottom part of the horizon became black or dark, that's considered already night. It's only when it's red. Once there's black, dark there, so that's considered Laila. And then you tell me right after that in the same Braita, and then you tell me, no, even if the bottom part is black and as long as the top part is still red, it's still Bina Shemashot. So make up your mind. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Kroch Vetani. Read all, both those statements as one, which means bunch them up, so to speak. Kroch, read them all as one, together. How? Ezehu Bina Shemashot. What is Bina Shemashot? Mitishka HaChama, Kozman Shepene Mizrach Ma'adimim. So long as the eastern sky is red, and even if the bottom of the sky is black, is dark, and the top is still red, it's still Bina Shemashot. However, once already both halves of the sky become dark, Laila. So therefore, according to Rabbah, he's learning it's all one statement really. Bin HaShemashot is from the reddening all the way until the complete blackening of the sky. So Gemara says, V'Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, no, Achi Ketani. No, he argues on that, but he says, Mitishka Hama Kozeman Shepenei Mizrach Ma'adimim Yom. He adds a new time zone. He says, so long as there's light rays on the eastern sky, that's day. That's a new hadush. That's day. That's completely yom. Hechsifa tachton velo hechsifa alyon. When you have the split where the lower part is black and the high part is red, that's Bin HaShemashot. Third stage, Hechsifa Alyon Vishvala Tahton Laila. So we have a great machlok there between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. While Rabbah tells you that the reddening of the sky already is Bina Shemashot, Rabbi Yosef says, no, that's considered day still. According to Rabbi Yosef, Bina Shemashot starts at a later time. It starts after the reddening of the sky. Now it starts to blacken the bottom of it. That's Bina Shemashot. Whereas Rabbah came along and said, no, immediately when the sky starts to be ma'adim, that's considered Bin HaShemashot.
Argues on the writer.
No, that's the way Rabbi Yosef is explaining the Braita.
The Braita says specifically that's Ben Hashemesh.
No, no, he's saying Haki Ketani. Oh, he's explained this is the way you're supposed to read it. Add the word Yom and put read into it like that. They're all both explaining the Braita. Now, the Azdu Letamayu, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are really following their opinions. Meaning, Rabba holds that Ben Hashemesh is a longer period of time. Because he says already it starts from the beginning of the redding of the sky. Where Rabbi Yosef says it's a lesser time because he starts it from the sky becoming dark. So their opinions match what we know based on other statements that they said. What else did they say? The Itmar. We have a statement. Shi'ur ben ha-shemashot bekama. What is the shi'ur? Now we're discussing a time shi'ur. How much is the time of ben ha-shemashot? Amar Rabba. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shelosha Chelke Meal. Three parts of a meal. Now that's a vague statement. What does three parts mean? So the Gemara says, Mai Gimel Chelke Meal. What do you mean when you say three parts of a meal? Ilema Talta Palge Mila. If you mean to say that it's three halves of a meal, three half meals, which means that would be really one and a half. Three half meals. The Gemara says, Nema milu mehsa. Why say it in a confusing way and say, Shelosha chelke meal? Just say, milu mehsa. So it cannot be three halves. Ela talta talte. Maybe when he said three parts of a meal means three thirds. Well, if it's three thirds, then he should have just said mila nema mil. Let him just say one meal. What do you have to say? Tlata chelke mil. So it cannot be three halves. It cannot be three thirds. So what's the next option? Ela tilta ribe mila. It must be three fourths. Which means we're going in order. Yeah, it couldn't be 3/2. Because then it would have said one and a half. Can't be 3/3 because that would be one. So therefore it must be when he says shlosha halke, 3/4. Now what is 3/4 of a meal? So if we're learning a meal is 18 minutes, so 3/4 of a meal comes to 13.5 minutes. So that's where we get the shiur that is commonly known, publicized, that Ben HaShemashot is a 13.5 minutes based on Rabbah's understanding of Shelosha Rivei Mil. Now, the Rabbi Yosef Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, Shnei Chelkei Mil. He said, no, Ben HaShemashot is only 2 parts of a meal. So the Gemara says, Mai Shnei Chelkei Mil. Same question, what is 2 parts of a meal? Ile Matre Palgei Mila. If it means 2 half meals, that means 2/2, lema meal. Just let him say, 1 full, complete meal. Ela tre rivei mila. Must be, he means 2/4 of a meal. So the Gemara says, wait, if it's 2/4 of a meal, that's half a meal. Lema hatzi meal. Let him say, half a meal. So therefore, ela it must mean 2/3 of a meal. Now how much is 2/3 of a meal? If a meal is 18, so that would be 12. So you see, 12 minutes. So you see there's 1.5 minute spread between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. So that fits in very good. Because we said that Rabba holds what? Ben HaShemashot is longer. Because it starts already from the running in the sky. So that's already 13.5 minute process. However, Rabbi Yosef, that starts it later, he starts it from when the sky gets blackened, so that's only a 12-minute span. So the Gemara says, my benayu, in time, what's the difference between the two of them? Hika benayu palga de danka. Half a danka. Danka is the way of the Gemara to call a sixth. Half of a sixth would be a twelfth. So therefore, if you make the hashbon, the difference between the times of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbah, which is one said 3/4 and one said 2/3, the difference between 3/4 and 2/3 is the 12th. And therefore, they call that Palga de Danka, half of a sixth. Comes out that Rabba has a longer Ben Hashem Hashot, while Rabbi Yosef has a shorter one. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.